Thank the Lord for that song.
Can we bow our heads for a moment? Dear Lord, we're looking for you, Lord, to move tonight. Dear God, we're asking you to bring your message to us, dear Jesus. You realize that we are all souls here, dear God, and there are some here who know you, and there are those here who don't. Lord, all of us need you and need your salvation. God, I pray you'll move and have mercy tonight and speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to turn to Psalms 51 to start with tonight and appreciate your prayers very much. I'll just leave it at that. I appreciate you praying for us. We want to do the Lord's will. I want to speak a little bit tonight about contrition, but I want to speak, if I was going to title this lesson, I would put it maybe as, or this message as, the sacrifice that God is looking for. You know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus. He was a promise that was coming, but he had not been offered yet. And there was a system of sacrifices that they were required to make in order to be in obedience to God that they had to do for different reasons. They had to make those sacrifices, and so they were required to bring those before the Lord. Well, today, in one place, Jesus said it is fulfilled. His sacrifice has consumed all of those sacrifices. Thank the Lord for that. You know, the truth is that God did not allow His Son to make that sacrifice and just freely give it entirely to the whole world without any obligation on our part. It is free for the taking tonight. It is free, but just as in the Old Testament, they had to take a lamb, put their hands on it, and bring it to be a sacrifice. And to understand that this lamb was shedding its blood for them. Tonight, there is an obligation of us to accept this sacrifice the way the Lord has called us to. And that's the burden of our message tonight. And I want to tell you that it's worth it. Before we get in, I want to tell you, if you've accepted that sacrifice, if you placed your hands on that lamb, so to speak, and you have acknowledged it and accepted it in the way that God has called us to, then you know the joys of salvation because it is free. And if we're willing to come that way, then we can have it. We can own it. But if you have not been willing to do that tonight, then there's something waiting for you. And your soul is in peril right now until you're willing to take that step. In Psalms 51, it says, 51 and 16, speaking of the Lord, it says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." You know, I believe it is consistent with human nature that when we realize a failure or a lack, we immediately begin to try to figure out a way to make up for it. I'll just tell you, honestly, sometimes you find yourself when you realize there's a lack of knowledge you have in one area, maybe trying to demonstrate your knowledge that you do have surrounding that area, maybe to make up for what you don't have. And that's a lot of words. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying there, and maybe you do. But in the Lord, sometimes in our spirits, we come to realize that my soul is not okay, that my soul is not where it needs to be. And so then we begin, instead of taking the path that the Lord has laid out for us, instead we begin to try to fix this situation, sinner and saint. This is not what the Lord is looking for out of us. Tonight, as a saint of God, if He puts something, a finger on something in my life, the Lord is not looking for me to try to make up for it somehow. in some way. He's not looking for me to put my hands out there and begin to try to say, well, I don't really have what I need to have here, but you know, I do have this, and so I can make up for it over here. That's these sacrifices that the Lord has no pleasure in. This morning, that's what this is speaking to. Tonight, if there's a need in your soul, if there's a need in my soul, let us not waste time trying to make up for it in some other fashion. I want to speak honestly to us just a moment on that. What we're really trying to do is, in effect, hide and ignore the issue. We're trying to cover it up with something else. Now, we may not recognize that, but that's what's moving in us to cause us to do that. Satan's got an agenda there to get us to ignore it. Because if he can get us off thinking somehow we're going to make up with it with something else, then he can continue to control our soul in some way. Because when we follow the path that the Lord has for us, it says if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. And when we follow the path of sacrifice and of accepting that sacrifice that the Lord offers to us, then Satan has no more control in our life. We can truly be set free. And you know, as a sinner, your soul can be set free. As a saint, do not allow whatever thing that is that God has put His finger on to start to become something that Satan can bind you down and hold you down with. Because if you begin to try to offer your own sacrifices, then you can do that all day long and Satan's got some control in your life. But there's no reason for him to have that. Because you can come and accept the sacrifice, the offering that God has for you, and you can have the power and the freedom that you need to gain the victory over that thing, and that Satan would have no more power, no more claim in any way to your life to be able to hold you down or do anything in your life. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. That's what the Lord wanted tonight. Let's do it. But it's not what He's looking for. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Tonight, it's so much, much more complicated to ignore the simple truth. Tonight, if you're willing to be broken, you can have the freedom you want. Maybe you've looked this way many times, but be honest with yourself. Have you really been willing to be broken over whatever this issue is? Whether it's just entire salvation or if it's an issue in your life have you really been willing to point it out and just be broken before the Lord? Just let your soul be broken and realize that it's not something you have any power to do. If Brandon sets Brandon free, Brandon's not free indeed. If Brother Ivan sets Brandon free, Brandon's not free indeed. But if the Son sets me free, I am free indeed. There is salvation. There is freedom. It is not just a doctrine that we're okay now because we believe in Christ or we believe in this thing or something. But when we come and offer this sacrifice to the Lord, when He's pointing at something in our life, then we can experience a power that is beyond just doctrine. That's beyond just thinking or just my mind and what my mind's able to take in. There's a power beyond anything I'm able to do in my life that can set me free, that can deliver me. Oh, the old song, deliverance will come. Yeah, he went through a lot of things, but he just... I wish I could remember the words exactly, but he continued on and said, deliverance will come. Deliverance is here for us tonight because now we live. It said, all the blood of bulls and goats, bulls and lambs, all that, it could never set us free. This wasn't somebody, it's not just paying a price. Well, we've done some bad things, so somebody's come to pay a price. Okay, well, you just forget it. Everything's... No. It's came to set us free. The sacrifice that God's offering through Christ, it sets us free, but it's in how we come to that and take it. See, that's what's happening in the world. People aren't realizing that, yes, it was a free sacrifice, but there is a way you have to come to receive it. And you have to be willing to come that way. And if you are, then you can experience that power, that cleansing, that freedom. But if you're not willing to be broken, if you're not willing to be contrite before Him, then you're not going to receive it. I don't care. Look, come on down. Come again and again. But until you come broken and contrite, you're not going to experience this deliverance, this salvation, this precious thing that the Lord has given us. So I want so much for us to understand what it means to be contrite and broken. And I don't know that I have the words. I pray God will help us. But I do remember some things about being a child. And I remember that I would act up, if you can imagine that. And I would do something that I wasn't supposed to do. And I would tell maybe a lie or a story to my mom, or I would just in some way fail, and she would say, "Brandon, go back to your room." And sometimes she'd tell me to get the switch and get ready, and that was normally the kind of the standard thing that would happen. And so I would go back to her room, and she would come back, and she would tell me what had happened, what I'd done wrong, and she would switch me, and it hurt, and I didn't like it, and I jumped and I moved my legs as much as I could, and it stung. And I didn't like that effect in my life. And so one time she sent me back there, and I got to thinking. I was like, you know, Mom switches me and I cry. So if I go ahead and start crying right now, maybe she won't switch me. And so I worked it up pretty good and started crying and got my tears going. And Mom came back there, and tender heart, she loves her kids. She saw me crying, and I fooled her one time. I thought, well, that worked pretty well. And so I went on my way and did something again, and it wasn't too long, and I was back in that room, and I started that again. And Mom wasn't fooled this time. Mom realized that I wasn't really contrite. I wasn't broken. That I still needed the punishment that was to come to teach me how to be broken, and that I needed to be broken before. And so she finished that off, and that was the last time I ever tried that, because I realized it was futile. You know, it's futile this morning not just to go ahead and be broken before the Lord. Trying all the different ways to get through this service, to get through this meeting, to get through... And I said, that happens in church. But you know, it also happens to get through the night. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life here on earth troubled when you lay your head down on your pillow? You don't have to be. You don't have to be troubled, because with this freedom comes a peace. A peace. Oh, the Lord still, you heard me say, there's some of us here who are walking with the Lord, and He puts things on our life, and we have to come the same way and say, "Lord, You're the, in the name of Jesus, have mercy," you know, and be broken before Him. But we have a peace in that, of knowing we're listening to a Father who loves us, who corrects us, who leads us. And no more do we go to bed at night with our head... We have troubles, we have things we face, but that fear of death, that fear of hell, that's not something we have to go to bed of. You can't almost put your finger on it, but just knowing that if you died right now, things aren't okay. It's not okay. My soul's, I'm not going to go where I'm happy. I know that I'm going to hell. I know I'm going where I'm going to face eternal punishment, and it's not going to be a good time, and it's never going to change. Our minds, it's hard enough to take in heaven. I sit and think sometimes about it and how long it would last. Hell's just as long. It's just as final. And tonight, if I leave here, if there's something in my life, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Search my heart. Help me to be clear and be ready. Help me not to be so foolish to try to ignore something in my life and make it through one more service or one more night. Let's just take care of it. Let's come broken before the Lord, and let's receive that salvation, that freedom. In Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and 15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, that one who dwells in heaven," where, you know, if you end up dying tonight and you go to heaven, it's going to be okay. It's going to be better than okay. This is where this high and lofty one dwells. But it says something here. It says, "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The ones who are willing. He said in another place, if anyone falls on this stone, they will be broken. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's the kind of broken we need to be. We want to be. And that's the broken, that's the contrite that's speaking of right here, that would dwell with God in heaven. It's the path to it. The sacrifice has already been made. It just takes me be willing to be broken, to fall on that rock, to fall on Jesus. Listen, there are many things in this word I do not know. I think I have read this whole Bible. I don't know that I have. But I know there are things in it that I don't know, that tonight, if you came up here with a verse, there are verses you could come up here with, and I go, I don't believe I've heard that. I don't remember hearing that. But you know something? It's okay. Because there's a very simple path to being all right. And it's not having this whole thing memorized. I eat it. I love it. It's my word. It's my life. And I want more of it. And I need more of it. But there's a very simple path to being okay and having peace. And it's simply to be willing to be broken. You've got to point at it and say, "I'm the man. That's me. Lord, have mercy. I want something different in my life. And it's not coming by my hands. My hands don't have nail marks in them. I'm not the one who hung on a cross. But there is one who did. And He is the sacrifice for me. And because of Him, if I'm willing to come broken, not trying to pretend that there's something else wrong, there's some other reason why I don't have peace. Lord, this person's troubling me, or this thing's happening, and that's why I can't get to sleep at night, and that's why I'm having trouble. No, it's because I'm not right. There's something wrong in my life. Lord, help me. Fall on the rock. Be broken." Because the rest of that was that the rock would fall on those who didn't fall on it. It would fall on them and they would be crushed. Lord, help us. You're not getting around it. You go on and try. Don't go on and try. You can't. Because you'll never find a way around it. That's the simple truth. There's no other option. There's no other sacrifice that can be made. And God dwells in heaven with those who are of a contrite spirit, who are willing not just to be broken once, saints, not just to be broken once. We found the secret and we came to the Lord and we were broken on Him. And then we got up and what happened? Did we get a little tough? Did we get a little scared of saying, "Wait a minute, I'm the man. There's something else. I need help. There's something I just need. I don't know. There's something in my life that God's putting a finger on. No, I can't do that. I did that once. I can't do that again." Why? Do it. Whatever you need to do. You don't even have to worry about all the ins and outs of the way things are. The Lord didn't say, you know, honestly, He didn't say, "To them that understand where they stand with me, that's who I dwell with in heaven." No. That's a trick of the devil. Now, we want to have a know-so salvation. We want to know the experience we're having. We want to know. But there's a trick of the devil. Where he pushes us towards self. I don't even know the right word for it. But where we're afraid to come down because of our image. Or we're afraid to come down because we're just not supposed to have to do that again. Or we're afraid to come down because we're trying to line out in our mind just where we stand. Do I really need to come down or do I not? Do I need to? And when I say come down, that can be anywhere. I'm not just talking about you got to find. But come before the Lord. He's everywhere. Do I really need to really come before Him on this, or am I okay? Don't leave that with Him. If there's an issue, just come before Him. And if you're, he can be the one to say, you know what, you're really okay. You don't have to have it all figured out, but you do have to have a spirit that's willing to be broken, that understands you need Him. You need that sacrifice. That's the only way that you can be saved and you can be kept. Isaiah, the first chapter. We're going to read the first 10 verses here just to illustrate kind of the condition they were in. It says, a vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. They're in a really messed up place. They're in, you know, tonight if you're sitting here and there's something God's putting His finger on in your life, this is where it can end up. But what's more important is, if you're in that place, rest assured that this is a place He's speaking of that's much worse. Lord help us. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. But my point is tonight that this is where it all leads. This is where it all goes to if we don't deal with it. All right? This is where it all ends up. You know what? Soul that's here tonight that's not saved. Those of us who are, if we don't deal with the Lord this way, we're going right back where you are. That's where we're headed. We're headed right back to that spot. All right? Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. You'll revolt more and more. You don't deal with it. It's just going to happen. It's just going to go further and further and further and further. Saint, tonight, if you don't deal with the issue in your life, it's going to go further and further and further. It's not going to just stay where it is. Sinner, tonight, the situations in your life, if you don't deal with them, they're not going to stay right where they are. You're just going to go further and further and further. There's going to be more and more revolt, because what you're doing is not the things, it's whether or not you're submitting or resisting the Lord in your life. And if you're resisting Him, then you have to keep resisting Him to resist Him, because He's going to keep calling out to you. And therefore, you're going to keep falling further and further away from Him into more and more of a mess in your life. Saint, it's the same process. Don't let it happen. The Lord's got something in your life He wants you to deal with. Deal with it. Don't let it stay there. Why will you be stricken anymore? Ye revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the feet even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Why not? Because I wasn't willing to be broken. I just let this happen, and I'm going to let it keep on happening. I'm just going to let it get worse and worse. Why would I do that? But that's the foolishness of us in humans when we're trying to do our own thing and not willing just to be broken on the Lord. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. It is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. The image here of the cucumbers. Has anybody ever seen how a cucumber plant grows? It grows fast. It puts out a lot. You know, this is something just begins to just overwhelm and cover it up. All right? Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been in Sodom, we should have been in Gomorrah. So now hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. You know, we don't want, and you know what, everyone, dear saint, you don't have to be in this position. We know that, because we know if we deal with it, the Lord helps us. But sinner, you don't have to be in this position, but this is where it goes, and so the word is coming a little bit to shake us up and say, wait a minute, we need to be serious about this. We don't want to be in this position. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain, empty oblations. Emptiness. What do you mean, Lord? Look at all these sacrifices we're doing. They don't mean anything. And we're going to find out in a minute why. But they don't mean anything. They're just empty. You can sacrifice all day long and it's still not cutting it. All right? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes. I hope y'all are understanding this five verses when we started. This is the Lord speaking straight to them and just telling him how he feels. I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. But Lord, I'm doing all these things. It's not what he's asking for. It's not the sacrifice that he's looking for. Remember we said it would be, the title of the message would be, the sacrifice the Lord wants, that he's asking for. All right? It's not what you're doing, what they're doing here. I mean, you could do it from sun up to sundown, 365 days a year. It's not what the Lord is asking for. And it's making him sick because you're not bringing him what he's asking for. This is the Old Testament, and God still was looking for them to come the way he said to come. And it meant more than just the animal they were bringing. Look over here in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis 4 and 1. And it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain, said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? There was something missing. Cain was sacrificing. Abel was sacrificing. The Lord looked at Abel's and said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I mean when he says he had respect for it. He said, that's what I'm asking for. There was something in the way that Abel brought it to the Lord that it was more than just what he was bringing. It was the manner in which he brought it before the Lord. Cain didn't bring it that way. And basically Cain got out of this what he put into it. Nothing. Nothing. And he wasn't happy with that. Lord, why didn't you honor my sacrifice? Because you didn't bring it the way I told you to bring it. You left out the most important part. If you're not going to put in what matters, you're not going to get back what matters. That's the truth of this sacrifice that's been made. It's been made, but now as we come to accept it, if you're not going to come and bring what matters, you're not going to get what matters back out of it. You come up here tonight and the Lord deals on your heart and you come up here and you beat around the bush and you talk about a bunch of stuff that's not really what the issue is. And Lord help us. Let's pray that God helps us to see what the issue is. But then we've got to be willing to say, this is it. Here it is right here. The Lord's shown me. Because until you do, the Lord said, well, you're not bringing me anything. You're not going to get anything out of it. But when you bring what matters to the Lord, when you bring what he said, this is it. This is what you need to bring. When you bring it to the Lord, open and willing, that's brokenness before him. Lord, it's not me. I'm not trying to, okay, here's how I am, and we'll keep that down, but look at all this other stuff I'm doing. That's not broken. Broken, open up and laying it before the Lord. Then you're going to get what matters back out of the Lord. If, you know what? This might be why it hadn't worked before you. For you. It just might be. You know what? I went down a lot of times and it didn't work. But I went down last time and it worked because I brought to the Lord what mattered. to Him, what He was looking for. And the Lord blessed my life and changed my life. And it wasn't because I found out just how to do it right. Well, I mean, I did, but you understand what I'm saying. I didn't figure out how to set things just perfect and just, I just came broken before Him and said, Lord, I want something different. I want different. I want to know I'm not going back and doing the same thing I've always done. I want to live for You. I want this life. And bringing it before Him and willing to be broken like that, Cain got exactly what he put into it. Nothing. He put nothing in. He didn't bring what mattered. He didn't get what mattered back out. Back to Isaiah, the first chapter here. So then the Lord, He laid it on them. He laid it on them hard. Then He told them, He said, y'all, I could interject a few words here. I don't know if the Lord would say y'all. He probably wouldn't say y'all. I don't know that He would, but that's the way I say it. Y'all, you're doing a lot of stuff that you don't even, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. Let me make it simple for you. Let me let you know what you've got to do. And if you're willing to do it, it's going to work. It says, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Desire my heart. Like I said, when I came and I wanted something different. I didn't want to just go back and be the same person I was. In effect, without knowing, I'm saying, Lord, I want to be like You. I want to be saved. I want to be different. And You are the difference in this world. There's the world and there's God. All right? So it says, relieve the oppressed, judge the fathers, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. No ifs, ands, maybes. They will be. If you come the way I'm telling you to come, if you're willing to do it, then you will, your sins, you shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What that basically means is, that's it. Final. This is the way it is. There's no way, there's no ifs, ands, or maybes. This is how it's going to have to happen. You can spend the rest of your life doing all that other stuff, and all you're doing is making God sicker and sicker and sicker. Or you can just come the way He said to come, and you can be clean. You can be free. You can have peace. You can have salvation. You can be kept if you're willing to come the way the Lord is saying to come. Do you know another word that's tied in? We talked about contrition. But you know, you can put another word in there called submission. It's all, they just roll right together. And whichever word works for you, that's fine. But you're going to have to come and let the Lord do it in your life. You can't do it. You can't manage it. You're not going to escape it by ignoring it. You're going to have to come and be willing and obedient. And you will eat the good of the land. Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations 3 and 31. I want you, there's a little bit of a burden here tonight, and I don't know, maybe there's someone here, and like we've kind of spoken to, you've got an issue in your life, and you haven't been able to get free of it. You haven't been able to find the deliverance you need over that issue. Or you've tried to come and get saved before, and you know what, it just didn't work. I want you to understand, it has nothing to do with the Lord wanting to punish you or wanting to keep a finger down on you. Listen to this. Listen to the words here. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though He cause grief, yet He will have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men, to crush under His feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. for whatever reason, whatever it may be. Now, I'm speaking a little bit because if you come truly willing to be broken, you will find this in the Lord. But I want us to understand that it hadn't failed because God's trying to crush you under Him. That's not why this thing has failed. He's not trying to crush you. He's not trying to subvert you. He's not trying to fool you. If you're willing to come the way He said to come, then you will find the freedom. Now, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Is your heart, does He fully control? You may have to, you know what? You'll find the freedom. You'll find the peace. And you may have to fight some battles and just keep that thing on the altar before the Lord. But it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different ballgame when you come before the Lord. The reason it hasn't worked in your life is not because God doesn't want it to. He's ready and waiting to make this thing work. He wants it. That's why His Son died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross so that the act of salvation would fail in your life. He didn't point at two or three people or 2,000 or 3,000 people and say, no way, I don't want them there. We heard a little bit about that this morning. This was for everyone who ever has lived on this earth. This offering was made for them all. It says, who is he that saith, 37th verse, and it cometh not to pass when the Lord commandeth it? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Just get rid of that. Here's what we need to do. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up all the sacrifices, all the ways that we're able to make up for those areas that we're failures in our life or that we failed the Lord. I hope you're following along because you know I didn't just read that from the Bible. That's not what it says. All right? What does it say? It says, let us lift up our heart with our hands actively tonight. Come and taking the action to come before the Lord and not just to try to skirt around the bush, but to take your heart in everything that it is. Instead of trying to hide it, trying to protect it, trying not to let it be broken. Instead, don't do that. Come tonight and take your heart, everything that it is, and just lift it up to the Lord with your hands. Lift it up to the Lord. Lit with our hands unto God in the heavens. You know, I hope and pray tonight that you're willing to do that. Because if you are, if you're really willing to come, you're going to find what you need. You pray for me.